grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Two texts. The first, St. Luke 10, verses 36 and 37. Jesus said, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." And from the 14th chapter of the Revelation to St. John, the 13th verse, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord henceforth. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." It was just 21 years ago today that our country was attacked by groups of fanatical, suicidal Islamist terrorists. I think that all of us who were alive at that time will probably never forget where we were and what we were doing when we first heard the news of these horrific events. It was, and it is, hard to fathom the fanaticism and the hatred that would lead human beings even to commit suicide in aid of a vicious ideology and the desire for vengeance. But such is the evil will and power of the old evil foe, the father of lies, that human beings all too easily become servants of his destructive purpose. Thousands of our fellow Americans lost their lives that day. And in the days that followed, decent, freedom-loving people from around the world expressed their sympathy for our nation in this terrible loss. Messages of sympathy were received from so many heads of state, among them the Queen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland and of her other realms and territories. In Queen Elizabeth's response to this unspeakably sad day in American history, there are some truly memorable words, and the words are these: "Grief is the price we pay for love. Grief is the price we pay for love." These are ponderable words, words which surely ring true for everyone who has experienced loss and bereavement. And it is a curious thing that we seem to realize the depth of our love for someone only after they have been called out of this world. Grief is the price we pay for love. So said Queen Elizabeth II. And now God in his mercy has called her out of this life to himself in heaven. In Dr. Luther's Catechism, In the fifth chief part of the Catechism concerning confession, after instructing us that in private confession before the pastor, we should confess those sins which we know and feel in our hearts, Dr. Luther then poses the question, which are these? And the answer he gives is this. Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Queen Elizabeth was a daughter of her dear father, King George VI, and of her very long-lived mother, who lived to the age of 101. She was for 73 years the wife of her husband, Prince Philip, and she was the mother of four children. That was her place in life. A place in life common to women throughout the whole world and down through all the ages of the human story. But by inheritance, she also was queen of the United Kingdom and of her other realms and territories, including our Canadian cousins north of the border. This too was her place in life. A place in life she did not seek nor choose. It seems that when her father became king, following his brother's renunciation of the crown in order to marry a twice divorced woman from our own city of Baltimore, the 10-year-old Princess Elizabeth began to pray that God would give her a little brother who would then become the heir to her father, the king. But that was not to be. On her 21st birthday, she made an address to her father's peoples throughout the world, in which she promised that her whole life, whether it be long or short, would be devoted to their service. And she asked everyone to join her in prayer to Almighty God that she might make good her vow. Can anyone doubt that by the grace of God, she in fact kept that vow made on her 21st birthday and the vow she made at her coronation in June of 1953? I think that everyone will agree that the 70 years of her reign were tumultuous years, both for her own country and for the world. And yet, through all those years, I believe that she was an anchor of stability, decency, dignity, kindness, and yes, of genuine humility. Those close to her invariably speak of her self-deprecating sense of humor. It seems to me that when all is said and done, every thoughtful human being hopes that during his or her lifetime, he or she will have been some influence for good, not for evil, in their particular place in life, whatever that might be. But because we human beings are in fact born out of sympathy with God and constantly plagued with our own frailty and sin, none of us can ever reach perfection. And therefore, we can happily continue our journey through this world only in the calm certainty of God's forgiveness, his pardon of our sin. It is a fact that on every Lord's Day, wherever she happened to be, the Queen unfailingly attended divine service. And in the divine service of the Church of England, of which she was head, she joined countless times in the words of this confession of sins. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent. According to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. In the gospel for this day, our Lord affirms that the great commandment of God's law is that we should love the Lord our God with our whole heart and soul and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And he tells that very familiar parable of how a priest and a Levite failed to be neighbor to the man fallen among thieves, but that a despised Samaritan did prove neighbor to this poor man. Christ's parable invites you and me to do the same. Yet because of our fallenness in sin, we can never manage to do that perfectly. And so the deeper meaning of this parable is that you and I and the whole human race are that man fallen among thieves who beat him and robbed him and left him to die. Because every one of us, without exception, is a victim of the world which knows not God, of our own fallenness in sin, and of the evil purpose of Satan and his minions. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the true Good Samaritan who has come to save us. by himself becoming one, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, unjustly condemned and crucified, yet now risen from the dead as the victor over sin and death and Satan. In him alone is all our hope, also the hope of his departed servant, Queen Elizabeth. May she rest in peace, and may the light perpetual ever shine upon her. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.